Hey, Mom.
Yes, honey?
Just to get ahead of the curve here. No, I don't think you're a terrible mother because we're in the middle of the jungle at 1 a.m.
Oh, okay, good. Good to know.
Okay, we wait here. Usually one will come through looking for a place to sleep for the night.
Why are we in the jungle? Why not stake out a farm or something?
Ain't in the farms. Not since the hurricane. Agalete now.
How long do you usually have to wait?
As long as it takes.
We are deep in the mountainous jungles of Puerto Rico, once again on the hunt. This time, we're not hunting for yet another fabled American creature. This time, we're hunting with them.
Used to be a farmer would see us and be all, Vete ya! Shooting his gun into the air?
Can you see the goat?
Cabrón! Cállate, cabrón!
Lo siento.
We are deep in the jungle, hunting for goats, and my companions on this hunt are none other than the infamous Puerto Rican monsters, the chupacabras.
Okay, there he is. Get ready. 3, 2, 1, chupacabras!
Ever since goats were brought to Puerto Rico by Spanish settlers in 1508, there have been stories of the chupacabra, a fabled creature that would come in the night and feed off of farmers' goats. Just the mention of their name was enough to send a chill down the spine of any goat herder. Standing around 4 feet tall, the chupacabra bears a striking resemblance to another Puerto Rican native, the Mona ground iguana. If you can imagine that iguana standing 4 feet tall with sharp fangs and speaking both Spanish and English.
We were pests to them for a long time. They build big fences, we find a way through. They build bigger fences, we find a way through. But now, you know, things are different now.
Over the past few years, the chupacabras made a startling transition in the lives of Puerto Ricans. In 2017, the biggest hurricane in modern history, Hurricane Maria, completely desolated the island. The destruction was so severe that even today, the majority of the island is without power and running water.
It used to be I would look at those houses everybody was living in, be like, bam, viviendo del mami. Then that hurricane comes and the river blew. I was glad to be a chupacabra. All these people that depended on power and water and all that, they were in a bad way. For us, not so much.
But after, we couldn't find goats no more.
You can't find nothing anyway, papi.
Cállate.
For hundreds of years, the chupacabra was like the fox, always trying to find its way into the hen house. Creeping into a farmer's land and snatching a goat was an act of theft. After the hurricane, all the farms were gone, and all the goats in them had fled into the dense jungle. The chupacabras had to quickly transition from being adept thieves to being adept hunters.
Those goats can climb, papi, for real. One time I looked for one all night, then I look up and there he is at the top of a tree. I was like, cabrón, what? Did the wind blow you up there?
If there's anything that thieves excel at, it's adaptation and improvisation. So the two brothers, Adolfo and Abran, set themselves to the task of adapting to a new world in the aftermath of the hurricane.
I was good at finding the spots they like to go. Abran, you know, Abran ain't all there up top.
It's true. And.
But he's got the goat sounds figured out. Do the goat gull.
This one?
Yeah, and the other one.
That's amazing.
It's crazy, right?
Working as a team, the chupacabras completely changed the way they survive. Adolfo finds where they might be, and Abran lures them in. It wasn't without its setbacks.
I was used to sneaking up on the goat. Or the goat in the jungle. They can sneak up on you. They got horns, gata. First time a goat stuck up on me, blah! I was the one up in the tree.
I was like, Adolfo, es Navidad. You an ornament? Should I put the presents under?
Anyway, we had it figured out. We were finding goats in the jungle. We were going to be okay.
And then Manolito had to go and get it all complicated.
And who is Manolito?
He's the Giao.
Giao is Puerto Rican slang for smarty pants or know-it-all. Who they were describing was their third brother, Manolito.
Manolito was always weird, you know. Didn't like to take the goats. Didn't like to joke around. He was like a chupacabra that didn't like being a chupacabra. Spent a lot of time on his own. We just kind of let him do his thing, whatever that was. But then after the hurricane, he changed. After the hurricane, he got some big ideas.
I always felt bad that my brothers thought I was so weird. I guess I didn't know how else to be. I never felt like I fit in with them. But when I had this crazy idea, I was so grateful that they were my brothers.
Right after completing their transition from thieves to hunters, the Chupacabras had one more transition to make. From hunters into heroes.
Right after the hurricane, I decided to go and see how it had affected the humans. I found a little house down the road. Half the roof was ripped off. The windows were all broken. I figured it was abandoned, but then when I snuck inside, there was a little girl there. I guess she was like 3, hey? I don't know what a 3-year-old human looks like, but she was young enough to not be scared of a, you know, 4-foot-tall talking lizard, right? I found her some food and some water. I stayed with her. She called me Cocodrillo, crocodile. I think she thought it was a crocodile. I think she was glad she wasn't alone. Eventually, some humans came down the road and found her. I scurried away and watched her go with them. That's when I got the idea.
He was like, we should help the humans. I was like, okay. He was like, they can't get food. They're struggling. And I said, Papi, they shoot at us. Why should we help them?
Because we can, I said. We help them because we can. It seemed pretty simple to me. But with Adolfo, there was all this, that's not what we do, sort of talking. I was just like, look, it's easy. We hunt the goats, but we don't, you know, need the goats. They need the goats.
So, point of clarity here. The literal translation of chupacabra is goat sucker. The chupacabras don't eat the goats. They, they drink their blood. I know, gross. Manolito made an interesting point, though.
Well, I think it's gross that you guys eat them. I mean, why would you do that? We probably both think it's gross that worms eat poop, but we're not judging them, are we?
Okay, point taken.
Still gross.
I said to Adolfo, look, it's simple. When we're done with the goats, we give them the goats. Otherwise, it's just a waste.
And just like that, after Manolito's fateful encounter with a human girl, miracles began to happen all over rural Puerto Rico. Suddenly, families stranded by the hurricane's destruction, who were unsure of where their next meal was going to come from, found an entire goat on their doorstep that could feed them for a week.
Look, I got no love for humans. If y'all didn't try and own all the goats, I wouldn't have to steal them, would I? At the same time, the humans brought goats to Puerto Rico in the first place, so I guess I can't complain.
And Manolito didn't stop there.
One day I come back to our spot and Manolito went crazy, y'all. He raided this abandoned house and he had all this stuff. He had a butcher's block and a knife and he was making stuff.
Honey, are you helping out in the kitchen?
Yeah, we're making, what's it called?
Chivo guisado. I was thinking about what we were doing, and I thought that the goats were great, but who can cook a whole goat? What if you don't have any cooking stuff, or you're too old? So I started making this thing. It's called chivo guisado. It's like a goat stew. It's all ready to go. You just heat it in the pot for a while.
Sometimes I look at him, and I look at what we're doing, and I'm like, what are we doing? This is crazy. But I've never seen Manolito look like this. He's like a whole new chupacabra.
After a while, word got out that we were here in Puerto Rico doing this story, and I got a call from a local daycare attendant that we should come down to the daycare and see a project that all the kids were working on. It was an impromptu daycare set up shortly after the hurricane for kids to be taken care of while the families try to rebuild their homes. There were kids of all sizes running around trying to make the best of their situation.
You could see it. It's right through here.
Oh my God.
Covering an entire wall of the daycare center were dozens of crayon drawings of what the kids were calling Cocodrilo Magico, the magical crocodile.
Cocodrilo Magico.
It started with a little girl named Yatsia. Yatsia came in and started telling a story about how when she was waiting for help, she was visited by Cocodrilo Magico, who made her food and gave her water until help arrived.
It didn't take long to realize that Hadzia was the little girl that was patient zero for Manolito's grand plan of helping the people of rural Puerto Rico.
When she was telling the story, the other kids were riveted. They gathered around like it was story time, and then they would come in the next day and be like, Cocodrilo Magico came to my house. Cocodrilo Magico came to my house. I thought at the time it was just kids wanting to play along, and I thought it was a nice distraction. But then, this is crazy. Then one day I came home to my house, and there was Chivo Guisado at my front door. And I had no food. I didn't know what I was going to eat that night. And then the other parents were coming in and saying the same thing their kids were saying. Cocodrilo Magico came last night. And I was just like, what is going on right now?
Needless to say, I was very anxious to share this story with the three brothers. It was a mixed response.
A crocodile? For real? All that work? They making us crocodiles?
That's what the girl called me.
I would like to be a crocodile, because the little birds, they land in your mouth.
Cata, there should be a statue of a chupacabra in downtown San Juan.
So, the girl's okay?
Her name is Hadzia, and she's fine. They all are. They're all incredibly grateful for everything you guys have been doing.
Yeah, they just don't know that it's us.
That was never the point.
Well, what was the point then, Poppy?
It's like I said when we started this. We help because we can. That is the point.
You think they would help us if we were in trouble?
I don't know. But that's not the point either.
Okay, so what do you think, guys? Looks like your little experiment has been a pretty big success. You gonna keep it up?
I don't know. I guess we should ask whoever these crocodiles are.
We'll keep it up.
Wait, are we crocodiles?
So guys, listen, I know you're all busy saving Puerto Rico, but we've actually come here with an ulterior motive.
Everybody from the mainland got an ulterior motive, got that.
Everyone waited while Leo laid out the two strange claws on Manolito's cutting board. They stood for a moment in silence as their demeanor totally changed. They looked at each other, and very carefully, Abron took out yet another claw and laid it out on the cutting board.
They said it was my job to keep it.
What's going down?
Champ? Champ has disappeared.
Oh man, it's happening again.
Right now, my journalistic instincts are telling me that you guys aren't going to tell me what's going on. But you are going to tell me where to go next.
New Jersey. You're going to New Jersey.
Driving out of the mountains and heading toward the San Juan airport, I wondered if the four Chupacabra brothers would have a lasting impact on the community as it rebuilt after the devastation of Hurricane Maria. And that's when I see it. On a long, partially ruined wall along the mountain road, someone has painted a long and detailed mural dedicated to Cocodrilo Magicos, with larger-than-life depictions of a magical crocodile delivering food to the suffering people of Puerto Rico. In time, I'm sure it would just be a folktale, and the disaster long forgotten, but I was hopeful that it would always be a reminder that when in need, help will come, and often from the most unlikely places. In the case of Champ, Leo and I were starting to get a sense that the unlikely help was coming from us.
Monsters Almanac is a production of Kid Pod Theater, produced by Jason T. Reed, Casey Wolf, and Joe Fisher. Written by Joe Fisher. Directed by Casey Wolf and Joe Fisher. Featuring the voice talents of Megan Holloway as Rivka Schuster, Austin Mosier as Leo Schuster, Rick J. Glenn as Sasquatch, Larry Morrow as the Jackalope, Mark Diaz as the Chupacabra Brothers, and Susie Suarez as the daycare worker. Sound engineering by Casey Wolf. Sound design and editing by Craig Good. Music by Kevin McLeod. Find out more about him at incompetech.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a review on iTunes, blab about us on social media, or scream about us in the middle of a dark, enchanted forest.